The epistle appointed to be read for this, the feast of the circumcision of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to Titus. Beloved, the grace of God our Savior has appeared to all men, instructing us in order that rejecting ungodliness and worldly lust, we may live temperately and justly and piously in this world, looking for the blessed hope and glorious coming of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and cleanse for himself an acceptable people, pursuing good works. Thus speak and exhort in Christ Jesus our Lord. In the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Luke. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, when 8 days were fulfilled for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Thus, for this feast day's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, first of all today, I, in the name of all of the monks and the nuns here of our community, wish to extend to each and every one of you a very wonderful, a very holy and happy and blessed New Year. May this year be glorious for us all. Friday of this week is the Feast of the Epiphany of our Lord. Little enough emphasis is placed on this feast, and most people do not realize that the Feast of the Epiphany is, in the church, is a larger feast than is Christmas for us the Gentiles, because today is the day when the divinity manifested himself to us of the world. So it is a very great feast, a very large feast, and therefore I recommend to you, if you cannot come to Mass on that day, at least to spend the amount of time that you would spend in coming and in being at Mass at home in special prayer. I urge you to do this. Those of you who live close by, I urge equally strongly to try to come to Mass on Friday. In today's bulletin, we have the instructions and the ceremony for the blessing of the Epiphany chalk. We all know how to use that. The chalk will be blessed Friday on the feast itself after Mass, and it will be available to us all next Sunday. And we will more than likely put the blessing of the chalk again, once again, just the part that you take care of in your own home. Here again, the father of the house takes charge and does the blessing and does the marking of the doors. He is the one in the home who brings blessing into the house, the father. So let us not forget that, and let us go into that as we talk about it again next Sunday. I have been instructed, or I've been asked to remind you of the presentation of in the internet, and that you will try to spend time in viewing it, not only just viewing it for the pleasure of it, but certainly viewing it for the instruction that is given there. And that you will also try to extend this information to those that you know and to those whom you feel need to see it, especially the young people, for purposes of fostering and nourishing vocation. We are going to have the Sunday bulletins on there and other things too. But we're also going to include, it's going to begin today or tomorrow, one of these 2 days, where each day of the month is going to have a short little religious instruction given for each of the days of the month. And it would be reason for you to go each day to just see what that day has to tell us as far as our religious obligations are concerned. I cannot but react to the effort and to the glorious beauty of our Midnight Mass this year. I was myself, and I heard it from others, I was completely edified by your participation in the singing. It was glorious. And I heard the manpower singing, and that was even more glorious. Little enough praise is given to the name of Jesus Christ today. And we, at least in this little segment of our family in the world, we together raised our voices in song. And we gave praise and warmth and beauty to the Jesus Christ, the newborn King. I'm not going to thank you for that, because no thanks is for that. But I am going to tell you that the edification that was given was great. And I'm sure that Almighty God, I'm sure that the baby Jesus was more than just slightly pleased with this. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My beloved people, today is the feast of the circumcision of our blessed Lord. I do not know whether you know, and if you don't know, may I instruct, that at the shedding of the blood of our blessed Lord on the occasion of the circumcision was adequate to make all the satisfaction required by Almighty God for the salvation of all mankind. Just one drop, just one single solitary drop of that blood that he shed on this occasion was enough. And his work on this earth could have been brought to a complete conclusion on this occasion. But it was not. He had to go all the way from his birth in Bethlehem and travel all the way to Calvary. Why? Why did he do this when it was not absolutely necessary from the viewpoint of having shed blood? Why? First of all, we start off in Bethlehem. Bethlehem, we find no concession made to the body. Everything in Bethlehem was inconvenient, was uncomfortable, was cold, was painful, was lonely, and everything else. Everything. We cannot find anything, any part of Bethlehem that made concession to the body. Bethlehem was the setting for the soul. That is all that Bethlehem was interested in. And isn't it something that whereas Bethlehem, where our Lord was born and was placed, that no concession was made to the body, isn't it something that for the average man today, Catholic, yes, Catholic, as well as non-Catholic in anybody, that our primary interest seems to be concentrated on the demands of the body. In one way, shape, form, or other, it is the body that is given concession. Bethlehem is not interested in that. And is it in fact that which concerns the benefits of the body that we are most in need of, that man is most in need of? No, 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 no. It is only that which is of interest, not interest, but of benefit to the soul, that man is most in need of. And again, I say Catholics, Catholics, yes, yes, yes. Catholics, though they are interested and concerned about it, but not sufficiently. I speak often of love. I said a moment ago that the work of Christ on earth could have been brought to a conclusion, a successful conclusion, at the moment of his circumcision. His work could have come to an end on this earth, but it wasn't. He was compelled. What compelled him? His love for us was so absolutely, unbelievably, infinitely concerned, great for us. His love compelled him, absolutely compelled him to do all from the moment of his birth to the moment of his death for you and for me. My love for you was so great that I could not resist doing it. I had to do it. I loved you. And I showed you what to do. I taught you what to do. I spoke to you as to what you were supposed to do. I love you. My love to you is beyond folly, he has been said to have said in some of his visions, appearances. And it was that which my love compelled me to do that I went through the agony of lifelong agony from the moment of my birth to the moment of my death. I did it for you. Let us keep that in mind. And he might continue, if he is conversing with us, he could continue. Every day, my beloved ones, my children, my holy ones, every day I hear you tell me that you love me. You tell me many times every day how much you love me and to what extent you love me. I hear this many times every day coming from you, my children. But as I look around, how much, my beloved children, has your love compelled you to do for me? How much have you done for me other than simply tell me that you love me? If you love me, then your compulsion to do something for me should be almost out of control. As I was compulsed and compelled, I could not resist giving to you. Have you given to me according to the words of your love? If you love, you cannot resist giving. Today is New Year's Day. And many people there are today who go through the silly gymnastics of making a whole passel of New Year's resolutions. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. I am going to do this, I am going to do that, and so on, and so on, and so on. That's today. Let's look at tomorrow and see how many of these resolutions are still in effect tomorrow. And the next day, let us look again and see if any of them are still in effect. It's a silly practice. This is what I'm telling you, no resolutions. But one firm purpose of amendment, just one. Pick out one predominant fault. Just one, my beloved people, not two or three or four, just one, and work on that. You know, in another couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about Lent. The old saying, when Christmas comes, can Lent be far behind? And that same resolution, that same promise, not resolution, but promise, because a promise has much more strength than a resolution. That same promise that we make today, let us take it again, let's take it up again at the beginning of Lent and give it to Almighty God with all of the force that it deserves. You tell me you love me. What has your love led you to do for me? We look around at our compulsions. Anger. Have you controlled your anger, my child? Why did you explode needlessly? Your pride. My son and my daughter, how did you handle contradiction? I looked at the ugly thoughts that go through your mind. What have you done, my son, my daughter, to put these ugly thoughts away? Or have you perhaps nourished them by looking and going, looking at things that you're not supposed to look at and going to places you're supposed to stay away from? What have you done? Have you followed your compulsion? Or have you put it aside because you knew that this is what I wanted from you today? Your compulsion for soft living and soft clothes and so on. How important is soft living, good food, and delicate and fancy clothes and so on? Can I resist this piece of food, or this drink, or this piece, this item of clothing? Can I resist my vanities? Or do I give in to the compulsion of my vanity? These are the things that he's looking at. You tell me you love me, my child. What has your love for me led you to do for me this day? It's serious, my beloved people, and we have to pay attention, every one of us, beginning with me. Sometimes I'm told, why did you preach to me today? And that's from this person over here, and from that person up there. I'm not preaching to you. Guess who I am preaching to? Guess who I am talking to? Believe it or not, I'm talking to me. It is not in the quantity of prayers that we pray. It is not in the fact that we have the prayer book in our hands and we're just bubbling over with the emotions of the prayers that are in our hands at the moment. Again, I told you a couple of weeks ago, it is not in coming to Mass. Though, of course, please understand me, don't take it out of context. And that is on tape in case anybody wants to question it. It is not in coming to Mass that I will save my soul. The Holy Mass, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, is not an automatic passport for me to heaven. Everything that is in the Mass, every instruction, every purpose, everything about it, I have to live. And to the extent that I live what the Mass presents to me each day, to that extent can I start talking about passport. What kind of life do I live from Mass to Mass? That's what God looks at. If I come to Mass, and the minute I step outside this door, go back to my usual way of business as usual, my beloved people, it would have been far better for me to have stayed in bed. I would have at least gotten the benefit of extra sleep. Now you might think that what I'm saying, that I'm making a tyrant of God. I'm not making a tyrant of God. Some people think because he said, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, etc., etc., that that's tyrannical, that he should dare say things like that. That's giving into his tyranny. No. To the extent that I love, to that extent am I committed to give of myself. I'm not speaking here that I'm going to fast on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays. I'm going to say the rosary four times on Fridays. I'm going to stand on my knees in the coal on Saturdays for an hour. You see, in all of these things, I have control. I can determine, okay, it's 9 o'clock, I'm going outside for an hour and kneel in the snow. I am. It's now 10 o'clock, I'm finished, I'm going in the house. I am. I am complete control of what I'm doing. Is that giving to God? Maybe. Just maybe. It's a good work, no question. But you know, one act of controlled anger, one act of controlled anger or controlled pride or controlled gluttony, one act is equal infinitely more than if I had gone outside and stayed on my knees in the snow all day long. You see how it works? Is that tyranny? I don't think so. The tyranny is within me. The tyranny is my anger. The tyranny is my impurity. The tyranny is my pride. And I am a slave to each of these vices. That's where the tyranny is. Almighty God simply says, Christ simply says, love me. And I leave the rest up to you. Because to the degree that I love, I will rip the chain of pride. I will rip the chain of impurity or whatever else. And I will be free of my real slavery. That's where it is. My beloved people, there is no tyranny in God. He loves us too much. Just travel with him from the moment he was born to the moment he died. And it is in simple humility then, in simple love, that we give to God, to give to Christ. Christ, today, and everything that Christ stands for today is being squeezed out of existence systematically. How much more we can squeeze before he's all gone, I do not know. But he says, if this is what you want, my children, I will not force myself upon you. If you want it to yourselves, I'll give it to you. You can have it. But don't complain at the end result. So, as we go into the new year, there has to be a reconstruction. As we look back this year, today, go back 12 months, try to recall what we said 12 months ago. How much of that held in the water? How much of that did we live up to? Are we going to do the same thing again today for this year? I hope not. I encourage you to develop this year. One thing I do encourage you to develop this year is a tremendous love for our blessed Lord in the Holy Eucharist. I don't mean an emotional, sentimental, sticky kind of love, as some people think that that's the way to love Christ. The stickier it is, the more we love. Let's not be sick. I'm speaking of well-intentioned love that comes from the interior life, from what comes, not from my mind, but from my heart. A love of the most holy infant Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, of the crucified Lord in the sacrament of the Eucharist. Love it with all your might. It is being devastated every place that he is trying to still be. So, Happy New Year. Are my words full of sadness? I'm not sad. I'm not sad at all. Why should I be? I thank God that I have been given enough grace to look into my total stupidity, to my ignorance, to my pride, to my complete ugliness. I thank God that I have been given that grace. May Almighty God bless every one of you and bring to you the holy grace to be able to look and to see his adorable face. Because once you see his adorable face, you will not need me nor anybody else to talk to you.